This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
It's my pleasure to welcome Alicia Stobie to the show. She is the best-selling author of the book, How to Get Approved for the Best Mortgage Without Sticking a Fork in Your Eye. I love that title. Alicia, welcome.
Thank
how
you.
Are you?
I'm great. So happy to be here. Thanks, Jason.
It's good to have you. And you're coming to us from one of our markets, Jacksonville, Florida. You've been in the mortgage business for quite a while. You're a real estate investor. You have some thoughts and good advice to share on the mortgage process. Now, in your book, you talk about some big mistakes people make and how to avoid them. You know, where do you want to start with this?
Well, I think usually the three monumental money mistakes to avoid is always a good one that helps people save a lot of cash.
Let's dive in. What are they?
So the first one is not getting pre-approved. The second one is not understanding your loan options. And the third is not planning or asking the right questions. So the first one, not getting pre-approved, is a big one. A lot of people get excited. They want to, you know, go out there and purchase that investment property, and they're really not sure what's involved, what's entailed, how the contract works, what they're responsible for, timelines, deadlines. And if you go through the pre-approval process, that all those should be addressed between your lender and your realtor. And then if you're pre-approved, then you also have the buying power and you know what you qualify to purchase. If you don't do that and you just rush off, which is totally understandable, people get excited about purchasing real estate and making money. The challenge there is you may write a contract for something you don't actually qualify for. And the challenge there is you're going to shell out money for an appraisal, which for an investment property, some lenders require two instead of one. We only require one, so that's great. But some lenders require two. Some need additional income and operating schedules. Some need rent schedules. And those appraisals can run anywhere from $500, $600, $700 a piece. And then on top of it, you've got home inspections. So you can easily lose $1,000 right off the bat by shopping in the wrong price range and not getting pre-approved.
Absolutely. That just makes total sense. Of course, talk to the lender first and get your pre-approval taken care of and see how many properties you can buy. And then, you know, you can go out and get busy shopping. What about the mortgage options? I mean, it's really interesting to me that since there has been such a scarcity of financing since the Great Recession or the mortgage meltdown back in 2008, you know, it's been really interesting to see some of these hedge funds and private equity groups come into the business and kind of fill this gap, if you will, between the typical agency type financing through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the expensive hard money financing. There's this kind of middle ground that really didn't exist before. It's nice to see that, but there are quite a few different loan options out there. What thoughts and recommendations do you have there?
I think when you get pre-approved, it's really important to ask what the loan types are and what options you have. So there are, you bring up a great point, there are several options now, and there is that middle ground, which is interesting. So you have your traditional Fannie Mae products for investors, and those are typically going to be 20% down. There are also some rehab loans for investors. And what I like to do with our investors is sit down and really go through everything and also find out their goals. So there may be something that, you know, you want to use a rehab loan on. There may be something that you need to close really quickly on, so you're going to use your cash for that, and then we'll do a cash out refinance later. And I like to work on strategy, and then that way we're on the same page with the real estate investor, their realtor, and everybody knows what the goals are, whether that be 6 houses in the next 12 months, 18 houses in the next 12 months. How are you going to use a combination of traditional lending, maybe rehab lending, depending on your goals, fix and flip, or the middle ground, you know, where you can get things from these alternate lenders now that can be at 8-9%, 10% versus the, you know, higher percentage hard money. So you can use a combination of all three in cash, and if you really have your strategy together, it makes it much easier to hit your goals and execute.
Mm-hmm. What is the state of the mortgage industry? There is some talk, and boy, this would be welcome news if it happens, that the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the you know, the best financing, that conventional agency financing that's out there but hard to get and limited in supply, will actually increase the number of loans that they are willing to do from 10 loans per person, so a married couple, if they can both qualify, could get up to 20, to 25 loans per person. Now, you know, that's just a rumor, but if it does happen, that's really going to set the real estate market on fire. Also, if we see a repeal or a curtailing of the Dodd-Frank Act, which Trump has, you know, talked about many times and is already doing something about now, I think that's going to be another very, very positive thing for the real estate business. What do you see, in, like, as the, you know, from the sort of the industry angle, if you will?
Well, I think one of the positive things about our new president is, you know, the real estate background. Everybody in our industry is, I feel like, waiting with bated breath to see what's going to happen, because if some of these changes come through, they could be wonderful for the real estate industry. It depends on your theory, and everybody's a little bit different on leveraging and how you want to handle that, but absolutely, if people could get 25 or 30 loans as a couple, I think it would definitely help the real estate industry move along. I mean, I think it's something like less than 60% of loans actually, you know, have a good portion of money down. So if you can leverage and build out your portfolio by getting more qualified loans, I think it would help us.
Yeah, good stuff. Trump is, as I always like to say, our first real estate president. What is the talk that you hear from the people in your trade? You know, I'm sure you listen to and read stuff from various forecasters and so forth. Do you think this is going to happen? I mean, it feels like the pendulum has swung too far. The banks have overcorrected. They're being way too careful. And I think they were way too sloppy and liberal before, but they just have overcorrected. I mean, they've just made it too difficult. Is the direction going that it's going to ease? I know we both think it'll be a good thing, but what do you think's really going to happen?
That's what I hear a lot of chatter about, that, you know, maybe we are swinging that pendulum back towards the middle ground, which would be better all around. I mean, if you think about all the additional fees that are now being charged due to overregulation that we, all the lenders have to do, I think it would be helpful on many fronts if they scaled back a little bit with all the requirements. And if they repealed Dodd-Frank, that would be very interesting to see how that shakes out. And yes, there's definitely rumors that that's going to happen. So yeah, we'll see what really happens.
We shall see. We shall see. And if that happened, I mean, a lot more buyers would be coming out of the woodwork. There'd be more sales, increased activity. I mean, I don't know what they'd buy, because inventory is already so scarce. You know, inventory of good properties is already so darn scarce. I guess more developers would be entering the market. There'd be more inventory being built from the ground up too. So that's always an option. Talk a little bit about, if you would, some lending techniques for investors. Well, and I shouldn't necessarily say lending, but maybe that too, but borrowing techniques for investors. Any advice you have there?
As far as down payment or property type or loan type or diversification?
You know, whatever you want. I'll let you take it. Whatever you think's most important.
Sure, sure. Well, I actually think it is important to have your goals and a plan for, I don't think you can plan too far out with anything these days, because markets change, goals change, prices change, communities change. But I think it's really important for investors to have a solid plan. So if you're going to buy, let's just say, for example, 6 doors in the next 6 months, ideally is that a combination of 6 single family homes, a duplex and a fourplex? What ideally would you want that to be? What are your ROI goals? And what do you need to have in place to make that happen? Is that your realtors? Is that your wholesalers? Are they your wholesalers you're going to reach out to? You know, where does your lender fit in the picture? Do you have a rehab team ready to go if that's, you know, part of your, if you're going to do fix and flip? I'm more buy and hold for cash.
I couldn't
myself.
Agree more. Fix and flip is a whole business in and of itself, you know. That is a business. So, you know, unless you're going to set up a whole business, then, you know, I think just being the buy and hold turnkey investor is the thing to do. Yeah.
Yes. And then sometimes, though, you can really get great deals you know, that just need a little bit of paint. So you may still need a rehab team, you know, light rehab team for that. And it's always good to have those people and those relationships. And then what I also find is through those relationships, you know, you can also talk to other people and network. And those are great people to know as well, because if somebody's doing light rehab for an investor, they may know, you know, this wholesaler or that wholesaler or another hard money lender that may be able to get you better terms than you've had in the past. So I think having all those items in place and a plan on what you really want to execute is a great start, because otherwise, if you don't have a plan, how can you make it happen? And then I think the other thing that is really, really important is to stick to your ROI goals. So if your goals are, you know, and everybody's different, 10%, let's just use an easy number, and, you know, that property's coming in at 6, don't buy it. Doesn't matter if it's shiny and pretty. Or so there's a lot of things that I think still real estate can be emotional. But I think if you're in it for the business aspect of it, you really have to treat it like a business.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very good point. Give out your website and tell people where they can find out more about you.
Sure. You can go to Elisha Stobe Books, ElishaStobe, books.com. Or you can also go to Elisha Stobe Home Loans.
Any other predictions you have to share about what's to come? You know, at this time, we've had such a sea change in the political climate. Are people in your industry pretty bullish? What are some of the big underlying thoughts out there in your world?
Well, it's interesting because before the election, a lot of people were waiting to see what happened at the election before they were going to buy. And then after the election, they kind of waited to see what was going to happen before they wanted to buy. And in that time period where people were waiting, rates popped up about 0.5%, you know, 3/8. So I think if you're in the market and you're buying at the right price point, I think there are great returns out there to be found. And I think that the fact that our president has a real estate background, I hope, would only be favorable for the upcoming year.
He's going to be real estate friendly, I think. I think an investor friendly president. And, you know, one of the things I always like to say to people is, look, there are many people that took advantage, and we had lots of clients take advantage of the incredible deals in 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, right? And they're just not as good as they used to be, okay? Look, at everybody has to just come to terms with that. The market is dynamic, things change, and that's the way the cookie crumbles. And everybody's always looking back in the rearview mirror saying, gosh, why didn't I buy back then? You know, I could have gotten such great deals. And they're not as good now. But the thing you get when you buy, when you're a buy and hold turnkey investor, as both of us are, is you basically, when you buy something, you get an option. Because you're essentially locking in the deal now, the price, but you always have the option later of changing the financing. If there's better financing available, you can refi, potentially get cash out, get a lower interest rate, change the terms. You can change the rent as rents change. If the rising tide floats all the ships, as it almost always does, not, I don't want to say always, then you can ride the capital appreciation up. So you always get advantages by locking in at, you know, any given time. And that's the important thing. So the deal is not set in stone forever when you buy. It's just the deal that day, and you can change it later because income property is such a multidimensional asset class, and it allows for so much creativity. So I always think it's just best, you just got to get in the game, you know. People that are already in the game, just keep averaging in more so that you lock in more options because, you know, you can change the terms of your deal in 2 or 3 years, you know. And that's the great thing about income property. I just love it in that way. Any thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I bought units last year. I try and buy every year. And it's sort of like, to me, it's the same theory as investing in the stock market, the zero cost average investing, where if you're going to invest in the market, you know, you send in a certain, you're going to invest whatever, $5,000 every month in the market. Okay. So sometimes you buy higher, sometimes you buy lower, but it all averages out. So yes, it was fantastic. There were amazing deals in 2008, 9, 10, 11, absolutely. Just because those deals are gone, it doesn't mean that you can't make money. And again, if you have your return on investment that is your goal and you work those numbers backwards, then you know what you need to pay for the properties in those asset classes. And I think those goals are very achievable right now. And rates are still historically low.
They're phenomenal.
I mean, they popped up a little.
Yeah,
they popped up a little bit, but really, I mean, come on. You know, you can still borrow below 5% as an investor, you know, with the Fannie loan. So I think there's great opportunity.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, hey, Alicia, thank you so much for joining us, and happy investing to you.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice, or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.